Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
And today we're talking about minute 196 of part 6, Something Darker. The minute's going to start with Aquaman saying, "My man." And then the minute's going to end with the Batmobile itself taking out several parademons. And so in this minute, Aquaman and Cyborg kind of have like their time to shine on the battlefield. And then the Batmobile gets destroyed in this one. So
you made one mistake. The minute starts out with Cyborg saying, "You're welcome," because he's got good manners.
You're right. But skipping ahead a little bit, we get the iconic line from Jason Momoa's Aquaman. Cyborg saying, "You're welcome," as he's caught Aquaman from falling. If we remember from Friday's minute, Aquaman was punching a few parademons in the face in the sky, and then he's falling out of that air combat and then caught by Cyborg here.
Yeah.
So,
Aquaman can't fly. Famously, you know?
He cannot fly. No, he can. Apparently he can swim really well, though.
Well, what is the sky but not an ocean, baby? The wild blue yonder.
What are clouds but just flying water?
Yeah, seaweed.
Sure. Nate, what's your thoughts on this minute?
It's a solid minute. This is a cool minute. I think what I remember the most out of this minute is the Batmobile stuff, because it was brand new to us. This wasn't in another aforementioned version of this movie.
There's a lot of
good teamwork stuff continuing to happen in this minute. That we left off from last week.
Now that you mention that, I don't remember how the Batmobile is dealt with. Does he deal with it? I don't remember. There's a Batmobile part, right?
Yeah.
The Batmobile is in the theatrical cut.
Yeah.
Right? Because he gets through the dome, he crashes, the Batmobile comes out, he shoots a few things, Jason Momoa hops onto the car. I think he just shows up. Batman just shows up with a parademon gun in the reactor.
Like on, when they're fighting on the top?
Yeah, right?
That's like what I remember, but am I missing something? Probably, because I didn't put that much thought into that movie.
I didn't think about what happened to that Batmobile. They probably said, "We can't destroy this. It's part of this legacy."
God forbid he goes back to the garage. God forbid he gets it repaired. God forbid Batman does what Batman does and fixes things in his cave.
I never really thought about that. The Batmobile gets destroyed in here. What we do see from the theatrical cut that we all remember is this part between Cyborg and Aquaman. The line, "My man," he gets thrown. He will fight another parademon.
Yeah, and then he surfs. He does a surfboard. Can we do the sound? But I'm not doing that. Then I'll have to. Yeah. Are you kidding me? So, then I'll have to pay Beyonce, and I'm already in debt to her. Millions of dollars.
Jason Momoa will ride the parademon back down to Earth, like some sort of sports board.
Water. Yeah. Almost said it.
And crashing through that building, it's a very iconic moment for this movie, and it solidified Jason Momoa as Aquaman, like that kind of personality he is, because in a normal Aquaman, a more traditional Aquaman, we wouldn't see such a cool unorthodox way of fighting parademons. But when it comes to Jason Momoa, his personality, his brand, if you will, put as Aquaman, that's very much in the flavor of his character. So he will stab a parademon and then use the parademon as a vehicle to ride back down, which is very, when we talk about, you know, Zack Snyder and Jason Momoa, the kind of tone of these movies, you know, especially in this Justice League third act, it's got to seem very rock and roll, very heavy metal. And so to you know, crash through the building with the parademon, it is very just kind of cool and rock and roll. And like that's the tone we're going for here. So it works very well. It worked back in the theatrical cut. It works again here. And then I think the icing on the cake is him calmly like sliding out of the building, doing the hair flip, and then moving on. Just thinking like, yeah, that was the coolest thing I ever did.
Yeah.
You know, I really like that.
What's the, there's a medal in gaming culture. There's an achievement. I think it's from Helldivers where it says, cool guys don't look or something, or that's the people, phrase. Yeah,
you don't look back at explosions or something. Yeah.
So yeah, very on brand, very on point. With rock and roll Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see a moment here with Cyborg, and he'll destroy a couple buildings. This was not in the theatrical cut. He's chased by a few parademons, although it's kind of hard to tell because he is destroying so many buildings at once. It's kind of hard to see, like, well, you know, you have to take a closer look and find out how many parademons he's actually fighting. But instead of fighting the parademons themselves, he'll just trap them amongst a bunch of buildings and then destroy the buildings and crumble them onto the parademons. So you really don't see the deaths of the parademons. You just see this kind of design shot where you have all these buildings around Cyborg. And then as he spins around and destroys them, they kind of create this triangular collapse behind him.
Yeah.
And so it's a very interesting shot. It's a very interesting choice for an action piece. I found it a little underwhelming and a little bit kind of confusing at first, because it just seemed like, oh, you're just like destroying buildings a little bit, because you don't really see the impact it has on the enemy, which I think would you know, warrant such destruction in action. So I always thought it was a little bizarre. But I also think he's using like sonic cannons, right? To like just kind of break them up.
Because you said sonic cannons,
right? Because it was,
yeah.
I've never really seen him use like laser beams, right? He's always just kind of done like, you know, as Cyborg usually does, it's like sonic cannons and stuff. And
yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense to like break buildings apart with the sonic cannons.
Yes, it would, you know, sound waves and vibrations and everything. So
yeah.
But there still are explosions. So you know, maybe he's hitting gas lines or something, but
yeah.
It's not like, so like the purpose of, yeah, there's sonic cannons. They're doing a woo 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 woo, you know.
Yeah,
that's how you could tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they got waves
you.
To them. Anyway, but like the purpose of that,
really loud.
Yeah. He's it's trying to showcase more of like, you know, that heroes don't kill directly or something, but it's more of like, okay, I'm going to immobilize them. It's like, yeah, they're probably getting crushed by the thousands of pounds of cement that are falling on top of them and, you know, rebar and everything, but you kind of don't really see it. You just see the building fall on them and it's like, well, you were in the way, so that's it. Opposed to Aquaman, just the, you know, seconds before, he's stabbing guys with tridents, you know?
Yes, so yeah.
And his guy that he throws through the building, well, I guess he's already dead because he gets stabbed and then kind of landed
okay.
on.
He was already dead. He was mercy killed before he went through the building.
Yeah. Anyway, but I do remember thinking that it was a lot of destruction. Now I don't really care. Now it's just like, okay, cool. This is just a cool Cyborg moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like at first when I saw it, I remember thinking the same thing as you, Mark. I want to say that like I didn't pay attention to like you said, the horde of parademons that were behind him. So when he fell and blew up the buildings, it was like, okay, we're just going to blow up the buildings for blowing up the buildings' sake. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think so.
It was just, you know, out of place a little bit. Also, like this whole entire third act still has a sour taste in my mouth, partly because of the theatrical
the chemical
version.
Leak from the power plant.
Yeah, it's toxic.
You taste metal.
Yeah. Oh God. but yeah, partly because of the theatrical version, and like its pacing in the theatrical mm-hmm. version, and then I couldn't get past the pacing in this version. I kind of kept noticing similarities rather than differences. So at one point in this third act, the pacing seems off to me because it's like, okay, now we're all just rushing to end the movie and kill the bad guy. But watching it minute by minute has been helping me at a slower pace, obviously. So when we get to the actual, you know, exhaust stack that has the Unity in it or whatever we're calling it, I'm going to see if I get to take my time with that moment. But here, it still is very much in the fast-paced action, we're just storming the gates kind of deal.
Yeah.
And this one actually does have, like, extra scenes and stuff in it, so it is helping me dissuade myself from thinking about the differences in pacing. And I'm kind of, you know, now I'm seeing it as one full piece.
Yeah. Doing this minute by minute, in this minute, we can now understand the literal roadmap that they're doing, which is when Aquaman throws a trident at the parademon and it stabs the parademon in the sky, you see the road that leads to the front gates. And so when you say storming the gates, like, that's literally what they're doing in this minute. Like, they're trying to get to the front gate of this tower, this castle, and fight the big night boss dragon of this raid. Like it's a video game. But the movie itself, I think it needs to hammer that in, whether with dialogue or something specific, because this minute is also very, it gets distracted. And with all the action going on, it's like with Cyborg doing his thing with destroying the buildings, we lose focus on, like, what are they trying to do right now? And that's like, get the Batmobile at to the front gate. You know, we spoke last week about, like, this joke about the mobile tower defense game, and like, that's what the parademons are doing. That's literally what they're doing here, is trying to get the team to the tower. And you see that with the Batmobile when it's about to get hit with one of the parademon turrets. It's like, it almost got there. And then Wonder Woman will jump in and block that shot. And just very acrobatic, like, creative way of killing a parademon that's also behind Batman. But, like, she's also here to help defend the Batmobile so that it gets there. And so I think they, as a team, yes, it's fun to have action and kill parademons and stuff and show the Justice League being, you know, action heroes, but there needs to be more of, like, what are we doing right now, so that people aren't losing interest and saying, like, oh, this is just Zack Snyder doing, you know, fantasy stuff that, like, appeals to him. It's like, show that the action has purpose by saying, we have to kill these things in our way so that we can get to point B, which is right there.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, then it is this. It's like, okay, well, Jason Momoa killing things and Cyborg blowing up buildings. And,
right.
You know, the parademons blew up the Batmobile. It's like, well, why does the Batmobile explode all of a sudden? So that would be, like, just the stitching that needs to happen is just be a little bit more specific about what are we doing right now in our heist. It's like, get into that gate right there.
Yeah.
Maybe even have, like, the ticking clock of, like, a gate closing, you know? It's very, very simple. You see it a lot, cliche, but it always works when you see a gate closing or a door closing. to be like, we have to get in there. And then you have a great moment like this where the Batmobile does get destroyed and you kind of go, oops, we failed. We couldn't get in there. We're going to have to go around or something.
Or through the window. Like that. That's the other thing I think we have failed to mention, that this whole moment is akin to attacking the castle. I mean, we said tower defense and everything, but yeah, it's very much, if we're going to go back to that King Arthur and the Round Table and, you know, these knights, it's storming the castle, storming the gate, but it's a literal tower spire, so, you know, it could just be the evil wizard's castle that you're just attacking. I was just thinking about that because I feel like we fail to go back to that whole, you know, Excalibur roots and King Arthur, Arthurian legends and everything. So,
And I think that's not a fault to you. That I think it's a fault of the movie. Unfortunately, it's like we've forgotten that, and it's there in its DNA, but it's not reminding us, like, hey, all the Arthurian stuff that we've kind of talked about, Knights of the Round Table, like all the stuff that, you know, you've been inspired by Merlin and King Arthur, and, you know, it's just come back to that and show us that here in this moment as we storm this castle. There's this shot where the Batmobile does another missile barrage, and the missile barrage will be like, it'll have its point of view and hit the castle, but nothing happens. And I think that's a missed opportunity to tell a story of why that missile barrage was hit or shot in the first place. Like, what were you planning to do? And, you know, what was that missile barrage meant for? Was it meant to like collapse the tower itself? Because that would be impossible. I mean, there's the Unities in there, the Steppenwolf's in there, but what was it trying to do? Was it trying to hit the turret but fail to, you know, knock it down, like, or like bust a hole in the door so that they can get into the tower? Like, there's no explanation for the missile barrage and why it has that follow-through shot. That I think that's one of those moments where it's like, tell us the purpose of this. Like, what is the Batmobile trying to do when it shoots those rockets? Because everything else in last week with the Flying Fox and the Batmobile, everything that it chose to do, and we saw a shot that like gave it attention, had purpose, you know, knock this tower down, knock this tower down, kill these parademons, like save yourself from getting killed. Like everything we saw there, and then the missile barrage last week as well, broke that building. He broke through it. We had the big hero ensemble splash page shot. This missile barrage here just hits the tower, has focus for it, but like, what was it trying to do, you know? Yeah. ?
Was he trying to make a door? Was he trying to blast his way through like he does with everything else? Yeah, so typically you would get that little bit of exposition for, you know, whatever purpose it serves when he's talking to Alfred doing his thing. We don't get that in this. He said, butt out, Alfred. Have faith, dude. I'm not talking to you through this entire fight. Like,
yeah.
What the hey?
Also, the plan that they have in the Flying Fox, which is like, Flash is going to build a charge, he's going to disrupt the Unity, and we're going to get Cyborg in there. We haven't really seen that part of the plan yet. So, you know, going in at about 6 minutes now, it's like we haven't even gotten to that part yet. So what is all this?
Yeah, just gate crash. It's really just what it is.
Gate crashers.
Yeah.
The Batmobile will, so there's a parademon turret. It will fire once more at the Batmobile. And so you see the Batmobile will drift and take the hit and then do, you know, a big old flip, almost like a kick flip, right? And then the Batmobile will eject Batman out of it. And, you know, Batman, he'll fly off into the sky. And then the wreckage of the Batmobile will tumble and kill three more parademons. This I thought was very interesting because, you know, the Batmobile is very fast, and if it drives forward, it's okay. But there's a shot fired at the Batmobile. And so the Batmobile will drift. And I almost wonder if it was meant to take the hit. Like, he knew, like, I'm going to get hit by it, so I might as well...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, kickflip this thing
yeah.
so that I can get thrown up.
Well, I mean, he used the rockets. The rockets didn't do anything. He doesn't have anything else. His big gun's out.
Oh.
Right? He only had one round for that thing.
It's a and it's it got, definitely and it got a choice by the director, right? To say, like, I'm going to get rid of the Batmobile in this moment, so I'm going to think of a cool way to do it. But I think in universe, it's also like yeah, like, you're right, Nate. Like, Batman would probably be saying,
what am I going to use this for? So, like, yeah. Let me just throw it at him.
Yeah, I'm out of ammo. Throw away the gun.
Yeah.
Kind of mentality. So the Batmobile's done all it can, and now it's, he's got to get rid of it.
And that is something that he has done before. We saw in the nightmare scene where he did run out of bullets when he was using that gun and he threw it at the guy.
Yeah, he did.
So
he did do that.
It tracks with what he does.
Yeah. I'll just build another one. And then, yeah.
But yeah, so it was totally meant to take that shot and use the explosion to flip it and, you know, send it flying. Yeah, of course it was planned. This is we do get ejector seat in this, so
oh, okay.
we finally actually get to see him eject the seat out of it. We never seen that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very comic booky shot with the ejector seat of Batman. You're right, we haven't really seen this before, and the shot itself of Batman flying into the sky.
Yeah,
with the ejector seat is kind of it, but you know, being a comic book movie, it's like you have to allow yourself to have those moments of being like, he dresses up like a bat, right? Like he's a goofy guy. It's gonna happen,
and he still looks goofy sitting in a seat flying in the air.
I don't know that there's any way to look cool in an ejector seat.
I don't know either. It's not about looking cool, Mark. It's about saving your life.
Yeah, you know, it's cool, safety.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Tachibana said when he was building that thing. He said, you know what would be really awesome?
Is if you lived.
If this guy was safe.
Yeah.
If this guy had another seatbelt.
You can always look cool, like, parachuting down, but not getting ejected out.
Yeah, because then it's just like a ride. It's like I'm just on Dr. Doom's Fearfall at that point, and it's like, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, Tower
I know
of
what
Terror.
That feels like. Yeah, Tower of Terror, same thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.